We go to the Revel Wireless Hotline right now to talk with our good friend Nate Ulrich, who covers the Browns for the Akron Beacon Journal. So, Nate, you had a chance to digest all that you've seen through the Browns' offseason workouts, the OTAs, the mini camp, and now that we're at this juncture where we're kind of digesting, I think, what this team is all about, what are some of your big-picture thoughts, some of the things that strike you the most from watching these workouts?
Well, I think first and foremost, you start with Brandon Weeden, and I think you got to be encouraged after watching him go through the mini camps and organized team activities, because he just seems so much more comfortable and efficient in this offense, and with another, you know, with obviously a season in the NFL under his belt. You know, a lot of people say that, you know, you can't really tell too much until the pads are on, and I agree to that to a large extent, but even at this stage last year when we were talking about mini camps and OTAs, I do remember Brandon Weeden throwing a lot of interceptions in those practices, and we really saw him cut down on that drastically this year and that, you know, in the practices the media was allowed to watch. So I just think that he's more comfortable, more confident, and I think that that's one of the big takeaways. And then, obviously, you know, there are a lot of new guys. The Browns were very busy this offseason, and I think you got to be encouraged from what you've kind of seen on the defensive side of the ball when it comes to a lot of those additions. Again, without pads, there's only so much you can tell, but I do think that the coaching staff is very encouraged with Jabal Sheard's conversion from a 4-3 defensive end to a 3-4 outside linebacker.
Definitely.
You know, and coach, outside linebackers coach, Coach Baker said that, you know, he's been the most pleasant surprise. So, I mean, that, you know, that really is a good sign. Obviously, he's got to continue to progress and adjust as the summer moves along here. But to see him, you know, drop back in coverage, understand the concepts, those kind of things is encouraging. And then to see Barkevius Mingo, the 6th overall pick in the draft, come in and, you know, also kind of make, you know, good early impressions as he tries to switch from a defensive end in you know, college at Louisiana State to the 3-4 outside linebacker in the system. And he's, you know, batting down a couple passes in front of reporters at the recent mini camp. So, you know, things like that, I think, are the main things. Weeden and then some of the guys on defense who are adjusting to new roles looking okay so far.
A lot to dig into there. Let's start with Weeden and start with the mechanics of his game. What have you noticed, Nate? Because I think it does go back to something he talked about early on at the beginning of the offseason, what was stressed to him by North Turner, the footwork thing, the idea that footwork equals more accurate passing if the footwork is right. And that was something that he didn't always have going for him as a rookie. And I'm not saying he wasn't taught the right way to work his feet, but I have a feeling now, the sense I get now and knowing North Turner's credentials, working with so many quarterbacks successfully through the years and Hall of Famer and Troy Aikman, that, you know, it's something he's gotten through with Weeden. He's gotten him to understand how the footwork needs to be incorporated in his game. And it seems to me that the passes he threw, by and large, were highly accurate through this offseason. Again, you know, always put in that qualifier that no one's getting hit and that the intensity or the pace of these workouts is not game-like in, by any stretch. But it just seemed like an accuracy level was there. And I did watch his feet, and he does look mechanically like a different guy than a year ago.
Yeah, I watched his feet too. And, you know, aside from the, you know, cutting down of interceptions that we talked about, the little, you know, technique, those are the little things that you look for. And he told us basically specifically what he was trying to do, and that's just drop back faster, get into his drops quicker. And he says that helps him release the ball quicker and helps with the timing of the entire offense, helps with the accuracy because he's hitting guys when he's supposed to. And he does. I mean, he looks like he's dropping back quicker, and that's a real point of emphasis. And I know he worked, obviously, with the new coaching staff. I know he, you know, this offseason, and also Chris Winkie, you know, former NFL quarterback. And that was just something that he focused on when he was with the team, when he was working out away from the team. I'm sure he's focusing on, you know, footwork and those mechanics right now, kind of, you know, in this little vacation before training camp. And another thing, Vic, was, he said that he was patting the ball a lot last season.
Right.
That was another bad habit he had. He would pat it, you know, with his left hand before he threw with his right hand, and that is another thing that throws off timing and obviously can affect accuracy. So he's gotten rid of the pat, and he's dropping back quicker. And I think those things have really shown up so far, and he's got to obviously as you said, as these things kind of intensify when we get into training camp, he's got to obviously keep those good fundamentals and, you know, not go back to some of those bad habits.
Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal joining us via the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And then there's the attitude thing, I think, with Brandon Whedon. I see a guy now who he's still cooperative or congenial when it comes to talking with the media, but I think he seems a little more concise with what he's talking about. I thought last year, as is true with so many rookies, he was just sort of all over the place with kind of thoughts and where he sees himself, where he saw himself and how he saw the team. I see a more focused guy now. I see a guy who seems, as a second-year player going into his second season, someone who is more confident about his place on the team. And when he, again, addresses reporters, he does so in from a place of strong confidence.
Yeah, he speaks like a man on a mission, and he really is a man on a mission because, you know, he wants to retain his starting job. Obviously, the new regime coming in, there's been a ton of uncertainty surrounding Brandon Whedon and whether he would get to do that. So, you know, they brought in Jason Campbell. They brought in Brian Hoyer. Brandon Whedon has taken all the reps with the first-team offense this offseason, and he's most certainly on track to retain his starting job, but, you know, it's no nonsense. It's all business. And he says, you know, hey, I feel like this is my team. I'm acting like I'm the guy because I feel like I should be the guy. And, you know, I'm going to be the starting quarterback of this team. I'm going to be anyone who they bring in. Nobody's going to take that from me. And, you know, that's how he's acting. I mean, he's, it's not just words. That's what he's saying, but he's backing it up. You know what I mean, Vic? With the way he's – it's not just all talk. It's the way he's walking out there. He really is carrying himself like, you know, a starting quarterback. And not only that, but, you know, a guy who has experience and has maturity. And you know, I think that, you know, even though he was, you know, drafted as an older player because of his minor league baseball career, I think a lot of people last year kind of had this expectation for him to come in and not be like a rookie. But in a lot of ways, the bottom line was, you know, he was a rookie, and he said that, you know. Now he's not a rookie anymore. He's not acting like it. And, you know, the Browns need that more than ever, especially, you know, Vic, I know this is a whole other subject, but with the Josh Gordon suspension, they need that strong leadership, and they need somebody to kind of kick Josh Gordon in the butt and you know, make sure that, you know, everybody stays in line, everybody does their job. And really, that's what you want on your starting quarterback. So, you know, I would expect Brandon Whedon to do that from the way he's conducted himself this offseason.
No, you anticipated right where I was going to go next. And it's more important than ever for that leader, for that confidence, for all those things that we think Brandon Whedon is showing now to come through, because the first bit of adversity is already confronting him, the offense in general, the team in general, to have Josh Gordon not be there, to have a guy that he's clearly had his best rapport with in offseason workouts. I think the guy that gives him confidence as a quarterback to know he's not going to have him for those first two games. So it will be up to him. I mean, we've heard, well, the rest of the receivers need to pick up the slack and step up, Greg Little and Devon Best and so forth. And I buy all that. I mean, that has to happen. They have to play at the best level they can with or without him, but more so without him. But I think it's also up to Brandon Whedon to not let this thing affect this team and affect this offense in a detrimental way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it just – it goes back to, you know, hey, if you're the quarterback, you're the face of the franchise. You're a lot more than just any other player, you know. And those receivers have to step up. They have to be healthy. Man, it would really help the Browns in this situation if David Nelson can come back from that knee injury. You know, we haven't seen him on the field yet because he's been rehabbing. But, you know, they need the bodies. They need Devon Best to really, you know, lead the way too. They need Trent Richardson to come back from, you know, this shin muscle that's bugging him. They need him to be healthy. They need pretty much everything on the offense to be working and clicking on all cylinders in the first two games, because they're not going to have perhaps their most dynamic piece of Josh Gordon. And you know, they need all that to happen, but they really need Brandon Weeden to take charge and say, hey, this is not an excuse. We can't use this as an excuse, because, hey, you set the tone with the first game of the season, in the first couple games of the season, obviously. And the Browns have had, you know, such a horrible, dismal record in those season openers, and it's been a real culprit in all their losing seasons. So you got to get off to a strong start a lot of times, especially when you got a young team trying to figure it out, and the Browns are still that. So, it really is on Brandon Weeden and all those offensive other guys that we've mentioned. You know, those guys on offense got to be healthy and got to be ready, and they got to have a lot of things fall in place to compensate for Gordon's absence. But really, it's also about Brandon Weeden just taking control of the situation and making sure that they make the best of it.
And to your point about the defensive front, and particularly those outside linebackers, excuse me, you mentioned how well how impressed the coaches have been with Jabal Sheard. And yeah, I'm getting that more and from different sides, the offensive coaches as well, talking about how well he has performed and how much of a challenge he's been to block. And then we know Paul Kruger, I think, will be what this team expects him to be, in addition to Mingo, and throw Quentin Groves into that as well. I think the attack style defense has its attackers. I think I'm confident that that's going to be in place, and it ties into everything else we're talking about here. If we're talking about an offense that early on is going to have this extra challenge to overcome, I think the other thing that's got to tie in with it is a defense that allows this team to also overcome, compete, you know, take it to this next level. And by all indications through this offseason, there's reason to feel good about that.
I think so, Vic. And, you know, when you make that transition from the 4-3 to the 3-4, that can take, you know, a couple seasons to really, you know, become an effective unit, if you will. So I think that you got to be encouraged by, you know, some of the things that we were talking about with Mingo and Sheard, and then obviously a lot of the additions, you know, Kruger, Groves, Desmond Bryant, the fact that, you know, Phil Taylor and Ataba Rubin are in positions where, you know, the coaching staff believes they can succeed despite switching schemes. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to be excited about with that front seven, and they're certainly going to need it. I mean, that's a half of the equation here. I mean, the new regime wants, you know, a downfield vertical passing game, and they want to be aggressive and attacking in that offense, okay? So they've got Brandon Weeden. You know, he's not the guy that they brought in. He's not the guy they drafted, but they're going to give him a chance. They think, you know, North Turner, Rob Chudzinski thinks, you know, those guys think that he has the arm needed to operate in that system. Right. So they're going to be attacking on offense, and then the other side is that defense. They're going to be attacking their, you know, and it's all about the quarterback. There hasn't been much emphasis on stopping the run. It's all about getting after the passer. So I'm interested to see how that works out, but that's the number one priority. That's the philosophy of this regime. They want to pass it deep. They want to be aggressive, and then they want to get after the quarterback from the other team. Yep. And give him hell every day, you know. And, you know, with Kruger and Mingo and Sheard, and grows, you know, you'd like to think that there's a possibility that they can really make a difference this season, despite the switching schemes. And you know, I mean, usually that can take a while, but if they're going to be attacking and they're buying into Ray Horton's system, like, you know, and I know the players are very excited about the way Horton coaches and his philosophy, then maybe they can make some good things happen here and kind of be ahead of the curve in this transition.
Well, it has a chance, I think, to be very fun to watch, and I'm looking forward to beginning that process in late July when camp opens. Nate, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, no problem. Thanks, Vic.
All right, he's Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. He joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we have much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.